Okay, hopefully that will improve. Wow, it's only 11:20, and I'm just starting my message here, so that's good. Anyways, just kind of fighting a little bit of a cold there, so just kind of bear with me if my voice sounds a little bit raspy this morning. But I'm going to wait until the end to share the announcements, and it's good that everyone could come. In spite of this weather, well, this is Alberta. I mean, we have to realize that this is winter. It did seem to come a bit early. We had such a long fall, and it was such a beautiful fall. The snow kind of came really rather unexpectedly. We were expecting it, but not so quickly and not so much at one time. And so anyways, we know that we now have the reality of winter before us, and so we just have to deal with it. And we can't stop our life just because of the weather, right? We have to keep moving along. So, I'm going to do the announcements at the end. So last week's Torah portion was Noah. We talked about Noah and God's judgment, or we read about the Torah portion on God's judgment on the earth because of the wickedness of that generation. And the testimony of Noah was that he was a man of faith who was righteous in his generation. He was blameless in character. He was obedient and he walked with God. And he was chosen by Adonai to build an ark of safety from the judgment that God sent to destroy all the life on the earth. And only a family of eight survived the flood. But his life was a testimony of faith, obedience, and perseverance, because he preached for 100 years about this coming judgment. And so he persevered in spite of it, and God did come and judge the earth. But this week's parasha speaks another great man of faith. Abraham was called a friend of God. And no man is more respected in the Jewish faith than Abraham, the father and the founder of the nation of Israel. And so great was Abraham that three world faiths consider him as their spiritual father: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So there's basically, Avi was talking about the stars in the heavens, and we know there's 100 billion stars in our galaxy alone. And we know that there's, at least with Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all together, that's 3 billion people. That's a lot of people who recognized Abraham as their spiritual father. And the name of this week's parasha is Lech Lecha, as we know. It means go forth yourself in Genesis 12, 1-3. And Abraham was told by Adonai to leave his country, his relatives, and go to a land that he would show him. And God presented Abraham with a mission that would have eternal consequences. And you may remember a popular TV show of the 60s and 70s that presented agents with wildly impossible missions called Mission Impossible. Maybe some of you are a little bit young for that, but there was a movie called Mission Impossible. Well, Adonai, though he did not reveal all the details, essentially told Abraham, your mission, should you choose to accept, is to go to the land that I will show you. When you are 100 years old, you and Sarah will give birth to a son, and your descendants will populate the land to become a great nation. And this nation will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And through this nation, the world will come to know me and serve me in truth. And so though the land's true nature and purpose is hidden now, this is the place where heaven will one day meet earth. And from there, all the earth will be healed. And so my eternal plan for the restoration of the world will be worked out in human history and will depend upon you and your descendants. That was quite the mission that Abraham was given. And perhaps if he knew all the details, he would probably maybe would have stayed in Haran. But Abraham obeyed. When Adonai calls us to do something, he doesn't always give us all the details of how he's going to do it. Often, as obviously said, we have to go by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. God often will tell us one step at a time what his purpose is. So Lord's mission to Abraham was summarized in Genesis 12, 1-3, which was read, Julie read that in our Torah reading. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. and I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you, and you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. And I'm sure that Abraham didn't quite understand what God, how God was going to do all that. But he trusted and he believed God that somehow, he knew that God would somehow work that out. And it affirms this in Hebrews 11. Because Abraham did accept this mission that seemed impossible. It says, by faith, Abraham, Hebrews 11, 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham, when called to go out to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country, living in tents. And so, what, you know, this is was a tremendous act of faith on Abraham's part to leave his country, his idols, his family and friends, his livelihood, and journey to a land, a distant land, not knowing even where he was going. And how many 75-year-olds would uproot themselves and do what Abraham did? You know, as we begin reading this through this Torah for another year, it's really appropriate to be reminded of one of the most important covenants in all the scriptures, the Abrahamic covenant. I'm going to do a short series of messages on the importance of covenant, beginning with Abraham, beginning with the Abrahamic covenant, which is really the foundation of God's entire plan of redemption. As I entered into a series of covenants with Israel, and together they formed the backbone and the foundation of the entire redemptive story of mankind. And one can learn a lot about God's character by studying his many names. And one of the names he often identified himself with is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was because through Abraham, God's promise and purpose for humanity will be determined by those who descended from Abraham, the physical and the spiritual seed of promise. And early in the scriptures, we see that Adonai is personal. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He's a God of family. He's a God of people and relationship. God is a God of relationship. And this is one of the most encouraging aspects of our Creator, that the God, imagine the God of the universe, who's omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, he wants to have a personal relationship with each one of us. And that's really quite amazing when we stop and think about that. How does God have time to have a personal relationship with all of us? And that we can come into his presence 24/7. He's always willing and able to listen to whatever is in our heart. But another way to understand God's nature and his character is by studying the different covenants that he made with Abraham in general and with the Jewish nation in particular. And the essence of the Abrahamic covenant is Exodus 6:7, where it says, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God. And then also in Exodus chapter 19, it tells us in Exodus 19, verse 5, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then you, that out of all the nations of the earth, you'll be my treasured possession, although the whole earth is mine. And you'll be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words you are to speak, you know, to the Israelites. And that's talking about another covenant, the Mosaic covenant. But God chose to recreate a nation to reveal who he was and what his plan would be, and how he would restore man back into a right relationship with him, so we can be part of God's covenant family. And so in this series, I also want to speak about what I mean, or what it means to be part of a covenant community. It's kind of a follow-up of my message a couple of weeks ago when I talked about the value of being part of a community of believers. But when we come into a covenant relationship with God, we also in a covenant relationship one with another. And so we better learn how to love one another, because we're going to be spending eternity together, right? And so God wants us to realize that we are in a covenant relationship with Him and with one another. And we're going to learn about that in another message. But today I want to begin by describing the Abrahamic covenant. It was God's blueprint for the salvation of mankind. But before I do that, let me just share a little bit about the background on covenant. You know, it's impossible to read very far into the Bible without coming across the word covenant. The word covenant actually appears 300 times in the Old Covenant and over 30 times in the New Covenant. And so for modern ears, the term covenant sounds like an old-fashioned religious term that many have heard of, but few understand what it is. Even theologians today disagree about how many covenants that God entered into with man. We learned about these in our foundation class. But there's one covenant that was not included, and it should have been included, and that's the covenant of marriage. It's the oldest covenant in the world today, 6,000-year-old covenant that God established with man and woman at the time of creation. And God created the covenant of marriage and family. And marriage is, as I said, the oldest covenant in existence. In Genesis 3:24, it says, God said, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Yeshua added the words in Matthew 19, verse 6, so then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And so a man and woman agree to come together in a covenant to become one and to vow to faithfully remain together until death separates them. So today we are witnessing how the sacred and holy covenant is being undermined. Man is trying to redefine marriage, the marriage covenant, to include the same gender. And so what right does man have to change one of God's moral laws? The question is, how can two women become one flesh? How can two men or two women be fruitful and multiply, which God established as a command to Adam and Eve at the beginning? This unholy union is not natural. It's contrary to God's created order. And sadly, it is becoming an accepted alternative lifestyle today in our liberal and our secular culture. And so today we are witnessing the consequences of when man begins to tamper with God's plan. And so it's causing the breakdown of the family today. And Lord, I know that in spite of what man tries to do, God establishes as a covenant and it will continue. In fact, the whole plan and purpose of God is that we will enter in as a bride. We are a bride. We are entering into a marriage covenant with Adonai. And so this marriage covenant goes beyond just man and woman, husband and wife. It goes into the kingdom of God when we become part of God's bride in the kingdom to come. And God will have an eternal covenant with us. But the question of the ages has been, how can a holy God be united together with an unholy people? And so this has been the question of the ages. But God had a solution. Even before the foundation of the world, God had already predetermined what was going to happen. It was only possible through the Messiah, you know, who God would one day send to the nation to pay the penalty for man's sin by dying and rising again from the dead, so that we can be reconciled with God. So it was through the nation of Israel that God sent forth the Messiah to be the Redeemer of mankind. And it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Messiah and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God reconciled the world to himself through the Messiah, not counting men's sin against him. And he's committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. And so Paul says that we are now his ambassadors, We've been called to appeal to God, to others, on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's what we're called to be ambassadors, to call people to be reconciled with God, to make peace with God. Because if they don't, you know, they'll face eternal consequences. And so it's because of God's covenant promise with Israel that made all this possible. We would never have been redeemed without covenant, with God's covenant with us. And similarly, we would have no claim to any of God's blessing. We would not have any of His inheritance. We would be out of covenant with Him. And we would still be dead in our sin and bound by Satan and destined for hell, which is total separation from God. But praise God for covenant. God established a covenant to bring us together into a relationship with Him. And so the Bible is a covenantal book that contains a progressive revelation of 10 covenants that Adam and I entered into with man. And understanding God's covenants are important in understanding His plan and purpose for humanity. And so when God created the nation of Israel, He entered into 5 covenants with them. We learned about this in our foundation class. But the 5 covenants that God entered into, beginning with the Abrahamic covenant, which was an unconditional covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the covenant of the land, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant. And the purpose of God is in revealing Himself through these series of covenants was to restore 4,000 years from one another. It was no easy process. It took over 4,000 years to fulfill God's plan. And it's still unfolding. God has not yet completed His plan until the Messiah returns and sets up His kingdom on this earth. And so let's learn about the Abrahamic covenant and why it is the foundation for God's whole plan of redemption. And so this week's parasha, Lech Lecha, God entered into a covenant with Abraham. And that unfolded in stages, in Genesis 12, 15, and 17. All the important parts of the covenant are all found in this one Torah portion, Lech Lecha. Genesis 12, 15, and 17. In this covenant, God promised Abraham 3 things. That his offspring would be as numerous as the stars in the heavens and the sand by the seashore. And we know that, you know, realistically speaking, Israel just is one of the smallest of all nations. And so how could Israel have an offspring that was as much as stars in heaven and sand by the seashore? Because God was also talking about a spiritual offspring as well. But He also promised to give them a land for them to dwell in. And that He would be the source of blessing to all the nations through His descendants. That you and your descendants, all the families of the earth, would be blessed. But also, that all the families of the earth who cursed Israel, who mistreated Israel, would come under a curse. And so God, after I called Abraham out of this pagan nation, to leave his home and journey to the land He would show him. And his journey was about 2,000 miles. So Abraham journeyed through this land to the site of the great tree of Morah in Shechem. And he camped there. This is found in Genesis 12. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give you this land. There are many times the Lord appeared to Abram. It doesn't always say how He appeared, whether it was a visible manifestation of God or it was through a vision or how. It just says the Lord appeared to Abraham. And so Abraham would often build altars to be reminded of where God did establish a promise of His covenant with them. And so we turn to Genesis 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham this time in a vision. Genesis 15, verse 1. It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. But the Lord said, this man will not be your heir. And it goes on in verse 4. The Lord said to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited him as righteousness. Abraham's part was to believe what God had said and to obey. But we know that Adonai knew that he would never be able to obey perfectly because we all fall short. And we know that his one mistake was not trusting God completely. They grew impatient for the promised son. For 25 years they waited. And so they made a decision, both him and Sarah made a decision in the flesh, become a thorn in birth to Ishmael. Which has become a thorn in their flesh ever since. You know, the Hebrew word for covenant is brit, which appears 284 times in the Tanakh. And this word means a mutual agreement between two parties. And so it's derived from the Hebrew word bara, which means to cut. And this recalls the covenant of pieces. The covenant between the two parts in Genesis 15. And no covenant in the ancient Middle East was often ratified by a ceremony in which animals were cut in two and the pieces arranged on the ground, and that both parties would walk between these pieces to demonstrate their willingness to adhere to this covenant promise that they were entering into. But in the case of God's covenant with Abraham, it was only God who walked between the animal pieces in a figure of a smoking fire and a flaming torch. It tells us in Genesis 15:12, as the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country, not their own, and they'll be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. He was talking about the time in Egypt. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace, and be buried at a good old age. And so when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, to your descendants I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river of Euphrates. So we read in this covenant, God entered into this covenant with Abraham, and it was solely based upon his promise. Abraham went into this deep sleep. He was not even aware that God had appeared, and he was walking through these pieces to show that he was the one that was establishing this covenant. That somehow God would work through the sin and disobedience of his nation, because he knew that Abraham's descendants would not obey, but God would still work through that, through their disobedience, as he'd done throughout history. But, you know, 1,500 years later or so, in the book of Hebrews, the Lord reaffirmed this covenant promise to Abraham's descendants. So they would be reminded that God is faithful, and he does not change his mind. It says in Romans 7, did God forsake his people? God forbid. There are people at that time who thought that God, because Yeshua was rejected as a Messiah by leadership of the nation, that God had rejected Israel. But God made a promise in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 18. It says, when God made this promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. But God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who receive the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable Because it is impossible for God to lie. God is a God that keeps covenant to 1,000 generations, it tells us in the Torah. And then when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him once again, and he once again reaffirmed this covenant promise. So over the period of 25 years, God would often appear to Abraham just so that Abraham would not forget that God had made this promise. So in Genesis 17, 99 years old, verses 1 to 3, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, and I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. And once again, the Lord reaffirms his covenant promise. Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You'll be the father of many nations, and no longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. And so Adonai changed Abram's name to reflect his destiny. And the name Abram consists of two words, Avram, in Hebrew, Avram, consists of two words, Av and Ram, which means exalted father. But Lord changed his name to Avraham, which means the father of a multitude of nations. Then you and your seed, all the nations of the earth, will be blessed. Sarah was also given a new name, it tells us in 15 to 16. God also said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name, it will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. And I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. I mean, that was kind of hard for them to comprehend how that would be possible, because Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. But God is a God of the supernatural, and nothing is impossible for God. But then the Lord made a condition to this covenant by giving Abraham a sign that he must obey. And in Genesis 17, verse 9, then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your households or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And, you know, Abraham was a man who really was very obedient. And he, immediately, that very same day, he did not delay. It says in verse 13, on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael, because by this time Ishmael was, you know, about 12 or 13 years of age. And all those born in his household were bought with his money, every male in his household, and he circumcised them as God had told him. And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. That must have been a very painful experience, you know, for all the men in their household. But Abraham was one who was obedient, and he did exactly what God told him to do. And God's purpose was to bless the world with the blessing of Abraham. And we know that this covenant of circumcision was intended to be a foreshadowing of a future covenant, the new covenant, when God would circumcise the heart for all those who would one day believe. And one day God would circumcise the heart and write his law on tablets of human hearts, and he put his spirit in our hearts. And that's what he's done for each one of us. Because we have believed in his nature, he's given us his spirit and circumcised. God's cut off the old nature. He's given us a new nature. He's given us His Spirit, the indwelling presence of the Spirit. He's put His law within us. And so we are a new creation. And that was God's plan right from the very beginning. So what does the Abrahamic covenant mean for us today? The Abrahamic covenant is a promise of hope. God distinguished Abraham from his family and his kinsmen and made a distinct and set apart people from all the families of the earth. And all this happened because Abraham believed God. And I want to just close by going to the New Covenant, where Paul speaks about Abraham in his book of doctrine, Romans 4, 1 to 3. Romans 4, 1 to 3. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness because of his faith. And then down in verse 9, now is this blessing only for the Jews? Is it also not for the Gentiles? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? Was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised? Or was it before he was circumcised? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous, even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is a spiritual father of those who have faith, but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith as Abraham had before he was circumcised. And so this promise, it's in verse 16. So the promise is received by faith, is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. And that's in part God's plan. We enter into the kingdom of God through faith, and by accepting God's plan that He provided for us through the Messiah. And that we are in this covenant relationship with God, and God has, you know, whether we're Jewish or not Jewish is not the issue. It's whether we believe and have faith to accept what Messiah has done for us. And He's provided the way for us to enter into the kingdom of God. And it says that he has not been circumcised will be cut off forever. Well, in a spiritual sense, he who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off and be separated from God forever. And that's why we need to be circumcised in the heart in order for us to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of an understanding about the Abrahamic covenant. And I encourage you to read through, if you haven't already, to read through this Torah portion, Lech Lecha. And it really is quite an amazing Torah portion. And we can see how Paul and the New Covenant ties it all together. All the writers of the New Covenant, they tie everything together by what God gave to Abraham and what God's promised to Abraham. So, Father, thank you, God, for this promise you've given to us. Lord God, that for those who are willing to believe by faith, Lord, that's how we get into the kingdom of God, is by faith in what you have done. Lord, thank you that you love us and you've called us to be, you've reconciled us to yourself through Yeshua, who paid the penalty for our sin, even though we are worthy to be punished. Lord God, we thank you, God, that you have given us this free gift of salvation. But Lord, we know that it came at a tremendous price. Oh, in everything that we do, we really have a heart that we really seek your will in everything that we do. And we just thank you, Father, for this wonderful promise of salvation you've given to us. And I want to just read one other scripture I just thought of in Galatians chapter 3. And then it says in Galatians 3, for we are all children of God through faith in Yeshua, and all who have been united with Messiah in immersion have been put on Messiah. There's no longer Jew or Gentile. That's not talking in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. There's neither slave or free, male or female, for you are one in Messiah. And now that you belong to Messiah, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise of Abraham belongs to you. Amen.